Throughout the Bible, we find references to the secret place of God. In this secret place, where we meet God, there is special protection. There is provision. There is blessing. There is guidance. There is a deep peace that is possible and that we can only receive and experience when we're in that secret place of God. No matter what our circumstances are, when we are in that secret place of the Most High God, we find trust and comfort in every situation and circumstance of life. God's miracles of protection and His power keep His people going. In difficult times, we can trust and we can take refuge to the secret place of the Most High, even when everything else seems to fall apart. But so many people view God as some distant deity that is impossible to reach. They hope that one day, someday, they will be in the presence of God, that someday they will have peace, that someday they will have hope. But no, according to our psalm, the secret place of the Most High is reachable for every child of God, for everyone that longs for that personal experience. And I'm talking about something to this morning that only true believers understand. If you're not a true believer, if you are not saved by grace through Jesus Christ, you will not quite understand this because you haven't experienced it. But it is a danger too that we as Christians, as those who confess to be believers, that we believe that God is no longer in the miracle business, that God no longer hears the prayers like He used to. And at times I struggle with that. At times I ask God, Lord, how can I understand You? How can we have our faith confirmed if we don't see the same miracles that happened in the past? And oftentimes God, He doesn't scold us, but he reminds me, well, just look around you. See the things that most people don't see. A lot of people give up in their faith because they were disappointed in God. They were disillusioned. And I feel sorry for souls that were so bitterly disappointed. They had hoped in God. They had put their trust in God, and things came differently than they expected. And my heart grieves and aches for them. But there is no better place. God doesn't change. And we got to remind ourselves in our day and time, every day, that God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Because we live by faith and not by sight. Whether we see many miracles or not, we need to continue to have faith. Sometimes we feel like throwing everything overboard and say, well, oh, what's the use? Look at this psalm closer, and you will feel the Spirit of God and the Word of God wooing us. I want to use this word, wooing us into His presence and experience that secret place of the Most High. There's a story of God's miracle of deliverance from a missionary called, his name is John Payton. He was a missionary on some islands. I can't pronounce the name of it, so I leave that out. It's not that important. But the story goes like this. One night, hostile natives surrounded the mission station. And they were intent on burning out the Paytons and killing them. Peyton and his wife prayed during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ. Remembering what had happened, Peyton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, "Who were all those men with you that night?" Peyton knew that no men were present, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission. This is a most recent story of how the angels protected a missionary couple. This, when we read this, encourages us to keep believing in miracles. If we are to see miracles and signs like this, we must be in the secret place of the Most High God. But to get into that place, we must learn the things that are needed to get there and to be there. Let me give you a few points, just a few questions that I want to answer today. What is this place called, the secret place of the Most High? It is a place where you and I as believers can dwell. There's a place in God where the child of God can be and live. And most Christians, most Christianity doesn't even know it exists, or maybe are unwilling or don't care enough to learn about it, or maybe they're afraid of being too close to God. Are you afraid of being too close to God? We shouldn't be. Because when you are really in the presence of God, there's no fear. There's no unrest. Everything is at rest. All the storms in your heart and mind, all this confusion, everything leaves, and you are in the presence of the Most High. That is the secret place of the Most High. That's where God wants you and me to dwell in. Think of the high priest in the Old Testament. He would enter into the Holy of Holies of tabernacle, in the tabernacle, and he was covered by the, what was called in Hebrew, Shekinah, the glory of God's presence that was upon the mercy seat. So we too can enter God's presence, the mercy seat of God, being protected by the glory of God, being protected from the world and all its evil that cannot reach us in that secret place. No ungodly influence, no world, not Satan with all his might, with all his power, can reach us when we are in that secret place. The secret place of the Most High is not made by human hands. You can't make a shrine or a physical building or a place where you say, "This is my secret place with God." No, it is only by the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "Not by might nor by power." That means not by human ingenuity or human invention or human effort, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Loved ones, the secret place where we are to dwell in is built only by the Spirit of God and completely controlled by the Lord. That is the where the Lord is present, where he sees everything. We're not afraid. We don't hide anything from God. We come into that secret place of the Most High where we ultimately can trust and have faith, and where faith in God and the hope in God, in Jesus Christ, is alive and well. where we experience a wholeness that cannot be described in words. It must be experienced. And that's where God wants you and me. It is a place where doubts can no longer dwell, where fear is not present, where confidence in the power of God to deliver is ever present. Present, where we do not doubt God's promises, where we do not doubt if God can do this or that. It's this complete oneness that Jesus talks about, being that we are the body of Christ and He is the head. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. This consummation with the Spirit of God. That's the secret place God calls you and me to enter into. Our heart knows. Our spirit is strong. Our mind is made up. And we can agree with the words that Paul said in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know. Listen. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. How could Paul say that? He was oftentimes beaten. He was reviled. He was despised. He was stoned. He was persecuted. But yet he said, in the secret place of God, he could say, I know all things work together for good. God has everything under control. Nothing escapes His attention. Nothing escapes His eyes. And that is comfort, loved ones. How do you, can you dwell in that secret place of God? As I told you before, God wants to woo us into His presence. Not to condemn us, to judge us, but to forgive us, to heal us, to comfort us. He cares about your soul and my soul. He cares about our lives. And loved ones, when we are totally engulfed with His love and His presence, that is a secret place of the Most High that we don't want to miss. It's like heaven on earth. And we get a taste of what is to come. Just a taste. But yet it is so precious and so powerful. That secret place isn't hidden from the eyes of the child of God. God wants to reveal to us. We always say, well, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no any heart has understood. But God has revealed it to us through the Holy Spirit. Those who love Him, they experience this secret place that we cannot describe in words. It must be experienced. And I think we must desire to get into that secret place. We must desire the presence of God in our lives every day. Not just once in a while. Not just once in a while pray, Lord, be present today as we gather together. No. To walk in the presence of God, in the consciousness that God is here. God sees me. He sees my struggles, my temptations, my trials. But He's here. We must desire that presence. Now, some people say that's very hard to find the presence of God. It's not about so much what we feel, loved ones. It's what we believe and what we experience, what we know is the truth. Some things have to be in place before we enter this secret place. There has to be the right attitude of the heart. You see, when we look at the Old Testament, the high priest of Israel, when he entered into that Holy of Holies. He had to go through a personal cleansing. A personal cleansing process, if you will. Of making sure that his own heart was pure before God, that his sins were indeed forgiven. And then he was his duty to intercede for the nation of Israel in the Holy of Holies. The law of Moses and the directions given by God pertaining to these ceremonial laws were very extensive and had to be obeyed to the letter, or the presence of the Almighty and the Holiest of Holies would not be there. In fact, if they would violate those instructions that God gave, and they would not come into the Holy of Holies with blood and do it the proper way, it meant certain death for the high priest. First came the blood sacrifice, that was a ram that was offered on the altar. The blood of the ram had to be sprinkled upon the horns of the altar and then for the cleansing of the sin of the people. The priest had to put that same blood on his toes, on his ears and thumbs to signify cleansing from the daily walk in the world. And also the power over temptation. Now, I am glad that we don't live in that time anymore. But for us, the entrance into the secret place of God is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate today. That secret place is reachable when we accept the blood that was shed for us on the cross, remitted for us as a price for our sins, that we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and he has set us free, and we then thankfully come into his presence. The priest also had to go and go to the laver and have clean water and wash himself, going through the washing, which is called the washing of the Word of God. So many times our thoughts are very scattered and we feel troubled and we feel we can't concentrate. We feel like all these troubles in the world and everything just bombards us. But when we take the time and quietly read God's word, guess what happens? Our thoughts are cleansed. And then we start to pray. And we remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and we come to him and we enter that secret place of the Most High. That is the most precious time and moment in our lives. We are to enter into the secret place of God, not to visit once in a while, but to dwell there. That's what our text says. And then we must look into the Word of God and the Bible that is given to us and see things how the Spirit of God sees things. When we enter the holy place of God, we don't necessarily enter as perfect, uncorrupted people. We enter upon the full plan, the completed plan of salvation of God. Because God calls us into his presence through Jesus Christ, that's why we come. That's why we say, Lord, purge us from our imperfections, from any corrupted thing in us, in our hearts and our minds. What else is needed? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness in this sense is meant that we cannot enter that secret place unless we have been made holy by the power of the blood of Christ. Have you been made holy? You cannot make yourself holy, but you can be holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. A life of holiness is required as we enter the secret place of God. That means, like the priest had to cleanse himself, he had to apply the blood to himself, he had to wash himself, he had to get ready himself in order to be qualified to enter into the Holy of Holies. So you and I need to strive with the grace, through the grace and power of God, to become holy, so we can enter that holy secret place of the Almighty God. So the high priest would then enter the holy place, and first he would go to the showbread, or shoe bread, as the Bible tells us. And then there was the golden candlestick, and then there was the altar of incense. When we look at those three items, first the showbread, Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and that's what we celebrate today. He gave his body for us, and we partake in that body. We honor him and accept him. And as we symbolize with eating the bread, so we symbolize that Christ is in us, that we have entered into that holy place, that secret place of the Most High that God has for us. And then we go to the candlestick. The candlestick was really a group of candles. There were seven candles, one in the middle, three on each side. Seven being the number of perfection, representing God. But it also represented the illumination of by the Holy Spirit that the Lord shows us when we come into his presence, when as we go closer, as we come closer to the Lord, to that secret place of God, the Holy Spirit lightens up our hearts and minds, and we see ourselves exactly how God sees us. There's no more pretense. There's no more hiding of any weaknesses, any mistakes we made. And this is good. This is not something bad. This is where guilt can come in, and this can turn people off and say, oh, I don't want to feel guilty. I don't like guilty. No, go further. Go past the guilt and see what God has. Because in that illumination, where every flaw and where every weakness, where every sin, where everything is revealed to you and me, that's where we then confess anything to the Lord and say, Lord, I give you everything. And the Lord will be pleased with that. What can keep us or cause us to leave the secret place of the Most High? If we forget where we used to be, if we forget the great salvation that we received as believers when we came to the Lord broken by sin and guilt, and we confessed our sins, we were born again, and God forgave us. If we forget that or take that for granted, the presence of God will not mean much in our lives. But when we remember and keep remembering how he healed us, how he took us from the slime of sin and worldliness, and he planted us in his kingdom, and we see the value of that new birth or that saving grace of God, if we forget that, we will not experience the secret place of God. So we should never forget where we used to be, and we should, in our spirit, kind of go through that process over and over and say, Lord, you did such a great thing in my life and my heart, and I want to continue to build on that. I want to experience you more and more. You've given me the taste of grace and forgiveness and saving and this spiritual freedom from sin and enslavery. I want more of that grace. It's true, a prayer life, a holy living, and God's Word and baptism in the Holy Spirit, they're all essential in life, but they're not really necessary for salvation. But we must have these things when we want to dwell in the secret place of God. I want to repeat it. A prayer life, holy living, God's Word in our hearts and minds, and receiving the Holy Spirit. We need those things when we want to dwell in the secret place of God. What kind of relationship with God does the secret place offer us? A lot of Christians live in defeat. They cower in fear from demonic oppression and attacks from the enemy. They even run from opportunities for ministry. They are shaken every time there's a special event in their lives that just uproots them. It just totally disillusions them. They can't seem to find their way. But God's will is that we come to a life of victory instead of defeat. Not a life of self-righteousness. Not a life where we're careless what we're speaking and how we're handling things. No. A life of victory over sin and Satan. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, we can't hang around the edge of worldly, someone said, of worldly desires and get close enough to God to be in His shadow. If you hang on to worldly desires, to your own selfish ambitions, it will be difficult to enter the secret place of God. If we go out on a sunny day, and today the sun is not out like it usually is, but you watch your shadow. You know, even though I'm pretty tall, but my shadow, if you want to stand in my shadow, you have to come pretty close to me, right? This is what God is speaking here through His Word. In the shadow of the Almighty, that means that we're close to God. How can we stay close to God? In the shadow of the Almighty. This is where He wants us to. That's the best place. That's the desired place that God has for us. That's where He wants you and me to be. In the shadow of the Almighty. God's shadow is probably much larger than ours, of course, because He is everywhere and He has promised He is ever present. But in that shadow of God, the Almighty, His promises become reality in our lives. We don't doubt Him anymore. The promises of God to the one who dwells in the secret place, because he knows that God is right there. He's present. I want to read a few verses and just comment on them in closing here. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. You see how personal this is? God becomes more to us than ever before as we draw closer to Him. He becomes so personal that we say He is my God. Yes, He is our God. He is everybody's God. But no, He is my God. He is my shepherd. He is my Lord. The next one says, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. There's so many deceitful things in this world. Deceitful men and women in this world. The devil uses even to bombard and destroy our homes and our marriages and our family life. And there's a lot of noise of pestilence and of uncertainty. There's dangers of plagues, of wars and famines. He knows our needs. He knows our fears. Even though Christians suffer deprivation or sickness, and yes, even Christians have to go through sickness and eventually deaths, because it is commanded, according to Hebrews, for man once to die. We cannot escape that. But our refuge is in that secret place of the Most High. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. Like a hen gathers her chicks and covers them with her wings. And those chicks are totally secure. They have no fear because they're covered with the wings of their mother. So God wants to spread out his wings over you and me. Not just wants to, he has. But we need to be aware. Yes, there's a lot of rumors of wars and cries of all kinds of trouble in the world and around us. But the truth is, he goes on to say, you will trust under his wings. He will give you cover. He will protect you. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. See, we're not only surrounded by God's love and his compassion and grace. We are surrounded by his truth. And the Bible says truth shall make you free, but truth will also keep us free. Truth will keep us from error. Truth will keep us from going astray. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. We need not fear falling into temptation and losing our way. Yes, we may be tempted. Yes, we may be tried, but we don't have to fear it because when we dwell in the shadow of the Most High in that secret place, we know God will carry us through. He will help us through this temptation. He will help us through this trial. He will not leave us. Nor for the arrow that flies by day, even if it's calamities and even open persecution, invasions upon our souls through the forces of darkness and hell, we don't have to fear because they will not destroy us as long as we live in that secret place of the Most High. For the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Not because of our power and our ability, but about God's protection. What does it mean, but it shall not come near you? What is the worst thing that can happen to a child of God that dwells in the secret place of God? The worst thing is, perhaps that someone could kill us. The worst thing is that we could get sick and die. The worst thing is that we could have an accident and die. The worst thing is that we could be crippled for the rest of our lives through an accident or through a disease. But nothing can take away that secret place that we have in the Most High God. Dwelling in the secret place allows God to become a refuge and fortress, and no evil can come close to us because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. Then it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you shall dash your foot against any stone. God has appointed angels to protect you and me. In fact, according to the New Testament, every child of God has an assigned angel that is there to protect us. We say, well, what happened to the angel? Where was he when so-and-so got killed or so-and-so died of illness? That's where God intervened and said, look, I'm taking this child home. I want this child to be in heaven. Paul says, whether we die or we live, we are Christ's. We belong to him. He says nothing can separate us from the love of God as in Christ Jesus. Not present day things, not future things, not anything in this world and the world to come. We are Christ. We stay with him because nothing can separate us. He had tasted the secret place of God, and he stayed in it. And it is my desire to always draw closer to the Lord and stay in that secret place. And I hope that is your desire too.